We're going to get into the Word a little bit this morning before we close our Yiscor service, a very meaningful always and special service, really the height of so much, the height of the year, certainly the height of and the end of this 40 days of remembrance. If some of you have your cards or have been following along through the month of Elul, through Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of awe, and now here we are at Yom Kippur. And let me tell you, it's been a tough season. I don't think I have to tell you that though. Forget about the season. It's been a tough week, hasn't it? I think we've all been through a lot. You know, just to remind us a little bit about what's just happened in the last week, we just commemorated October 7th, 1 year since the brutal attack on Israel from Hamas. Israel's still fighting on several fronts today, not only with Hamas, but Hezbollah and others. Also, we are regrouping our congregation and many other communities within Florida from the effects of the hurricane that came through just a few days ago. We had no idea, as I said this last night, we had no idea if we would have sustained damage to our facilities here, if we were going to be able to hold services for Yom Kippur, but thank God we've been able to do that. And I've been talking to many of you. I know that some of you have had some minor damage, or some of you still may have power out. A lot of it's been restored so far, but it's been a struggle. It's been a tough season. Of course, even before that, we had the other hurricane, and the Carolinas and Florida and Georgia and Tennessee are still recovering. So it's been a really difficult time and very traumatic for several reasons. And we come to Yom Kippur, which is, I would not characterize it as a fun holiday. We don't say, have a fun Yom Kippur. But, you know, it's an affliction. You know, we are afflicting ourselves. We're fasting. And it's not supposed to be fun, it's not supposed to be exciting, but it is meaningful, I will say that. Now, I want you to turn to Leviticus 23. Just want to read this very quickly. This is some of the verses that speak about the holiday of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. This is in the Torah. Leviticus 23, starting in verse 26, specific to this holiday. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now in the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a day of atonement, the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted on that day shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and in all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves on the 9th day of the month, beginning at evening, from the evening to the morning, from the evening to the evening, shall you keep your Sabbath." So it's very unique this year. It doesn't always happen like this, but we are on a normal weekly Sabbath. It's Shabbat right now, but it's also Yom Kippur. And those falling both on the same day is rare. It doesn't happen a whole lot, and it's all the more special. And of course, in the Bible, when it says to afflict yourselves on this day of Yom Kippur, traditionally that means to fast. And I know many of us are fasting, if you can fast. And right about now, what time is it? Right about now is when we start saying, "Boy, I'm hungry," right? But it's just a few more hours to go, and we're doing okay so far. But we are afflicting ourselves. We're fasting, we're praying, we're crying out to the Lord. And with everything going on in the world, it's sort of a season of affliction in many ways. But we have been preparing ourselves for this day since 40 days ago, at the beginning of our 40 days of reflection. And if you had your cards, or if you pulled it from online, if you've been following along with us and going through, you see each day is a certain sin that we have committed throughout the year. And we talked about those sins. We modeled this 40 days journey, 40 days of reflection after the Al Chet, and all of those sins that we willfully and even sometimes unintentionally have committed this year. We remember these things on Yom Kippur. And traditionally on Yom Kippur, during the day service for Yom Kippur, we talk about the book of Jonah. And so I want to just take a couple of minutes at the very close here of the service to talk about the book of Jonah. Jonah, of course, is the prophet that was sent to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a pagan city. And we talk about the book of Jonah every Yom Kippur, and every Yom Kippur, people are like, why are we talking about Jonah on Yom Kippur? It's kind of weird. Isn't Jonah the story of that guy that got swallowed by the whale? Yes, that's the story. That's the Jonah we're talking about. There's not another Jonah here. So why do we read Jonah about the whale, about this prophet? Why do we read him on Yom Kippur? Well, there's four reasons that the rabbis give, the sages in Judaism give, for reading the book of Jonah on Yom Kippur. I want to quickly go through this. Number one, let's turn to the book of Jonah, if you have your Bibles out. Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. The first reason we talk about Jonah on Yom Kippur is because the book of Jonah, the story of Nineveh and the prophet Jonah, reminds us of God's infinite mercy towards us. We have a God that is merciful towards us. He loves us. Now, Nineveh, they were pagans. They were far from godly people. They didn't follow God. Jonah came and gave them a word from the Lord. And that word was, in one word, repent. Repent. Turn to God. Turn away from your wicked ways. And they did. We're going to pick up with Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He removed his robe. He covered himself with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and the nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Verse 10. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Now, Nineveh was a very big city of that time. It was over 100,000 people, which in those days was a big, big city. And it was, of course, the capital of the nation of Assyria. So we know these were bad people in general. These people did not follow God. Yet they turned. They repented. They cried out to God. And it says in Scripture here that God relented from the disaster that he would do to them because of their change of heart. God relented. God showed his chesed. He showed his loving kindness. He showed his mercy. Also in the packets that we have here is a scripture from the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus chapter 34 verses 6 and 7. I'm not going to read it. But these two verses show us the 13 attributes of mercy of our God. And it's always interesting to me, and I always like to say this, when we read from or we talk about Exodus chapter 34, we're talking about a time in the history of Israel that was not a good time for Israel. They were deep into sin. Just a couple of chapters before, chapter 32, was the golden calf sin. Arguably the low point, one of the lowest points in the 40 years in the wilderness for Israel. And even then, God says, I will have mercy upon you. And so this reminds us, all of this reminds us that God is a merciful God to us. And we should remember that as we're striking our chest, remembering all the bad stuff that we did all year, and we should remember God's mercy at this time. Second reason we talk about the book of Jonah on Yom Kippur, repentance, teshuva. This is the season of repentance. Repentance is such an important concept, but it's not a concept that we talk about a lot in the body of Messiah these days. But it is an important concept, and it's an important thing. Now, when John the Baptist began his earthly ministry, he was a forerunner to Yeshua the Messiah 2,000 years ago. He came and it says that he did a baptism or a mikvah, an immersion of repentance. It was all about repenting of your sins, preparing your hearts, what we're doing here on Yom Kippur. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 17. When Yeshua started his earthly ministry, the first thing he said after he went into the wilderness, after he was immersed, went into the wilderness, was tempted, and was all ready for his earthly ministry, this is the first thing he said, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Yeshua began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we remember God wants us, he's a God of mercy, but he calls upon us at this time to repent. The third reason we talk about Jonah on Yom Kippur, and this is a big reason, is that it reminds us that the entire world, and remember, Nineveh were not Jewish. It was not a Jewish nation. They were outside of covenant with God. But this reminds us that the entire world, not just Israel, the entire world and all of the natural forces in the world are in God's hands. Everything is in God's hands. Nothing gets past God. And God allows things to happen, yes, but everything is in his hand, everything that he has created. We've just gone through a hurricane. We've just gone through a true force of nature where things were very unpredictable. There was loss of control. And even with the amount of prediction that these meteorologists can do, you know, if you've seen them, you saw all the news stuff. They've got like all their computers out and the models, and they're consulting this model and that model. And it's still then they couldn't tell us exactly where this thing was going, right? There's a level of unpredictability, even with the most sophistication of man and science. But we remember that God is in control and God controls all. Psalm 24, verses 1 through 4. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell within. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up a soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. Wise words for us to remember and to do during Yom Kippur. The last reason we talk about the book of Jonah during Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur is a time, it's said, where our prayers can be answered. Now, we know as followers of Yeshua that we can pray to God and he's going to hear us. We've been going through the book of Psalms in our weekly Shabbat services. We've been seeing how God answers prayer. God hears us when we call upon him. But you have to remember at Yom Kippur, we are at a heightened state of holiness for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're extremely focused on God right now. We're all here. We're not about in the world doing our things. So there's a focus on God. Number two, we're afflicting ourselves. We're fasting. And if anyone has ever fasted before for any length of time, or if you read those books on fasting or done the, you know, different fasts, you know that when you go without food and drink for a while, when you do any type of fast, it brings you to this almost heightened state of intensity to where you are more receptive to hearing from God. Why is that? Well, there's nothing magical about it. It's just the fact that you're not worrying about, what are we going to have for lunch? You know, isn't that always, well, where are we going to go for lunch? What are we going to do for dinner? Where am I going to have my next meal? Oh, I need to cook the meal. Oh, I need to do this. I need to eat. I need to make sure everybody eats. We're not worrying about any of that. That's out the window right now. We're focused. We're focused on God, and we can hear from God, and we can receive from God. We're connected with him. Now, we have many prayers today. For our families, for our community. We still have several people in our community without power. We're praying for them. People have sustained some damage. You know, trees are down, let alone all the debris and things. But power's still out for many, many families in Brevard County here, and of course throughout Florida. So we have many prayers. And may we pray, and may our prayers go to the Lord. And may he answer our prayers today. And I believe he's answered many, many prayers. But the key is we come to God expecting the prayers to be answered, but it's with a heart that's not arrogant. It's with the heart that is surrendered to him. It's with the heart that understands God is merciful. God wants us to have a repentant heart. Everything is in his hands. And that should tell us we can't control everything. We are not God. We are subject to, yes, the forces in this world, but we're subject to the Lord. And this is all of these things are reminding us of how small we are at this time and how great and big God is. So we need to focus a little bit less on ourselves this Yom Kippur and this coming year. And let's focus a little bit more on him and his infinite greatness and all of the things that he has done for us, including, as I spoke about last night, atonement. This is the Day of Atonement. We can be thankful that our sins are atoned for, that as we strike our chest, we remember all the bad stuff we did. In the next breath, we can say, but thank you, Lord, that you have saved us, that you have forgiven us, that you have redeemed us by the blood of our Messiah, Yeshua. And so let's remember that we're written in the book of life on this Yom Kippur, and every single day. I'd like to close with a prayer now. Lord, we thank you because you are merciful. You are so great, Lord God. We have screwed up so much this year. We have gone astray. We have willfully acted against you, and we have willfully done things to other people in not in love, but in hate, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that this Yom Kippur we remember as we're afflicting ourselves, as we're focused on you, Lord. We remember you and your goodness. We remember you and your sacrifice and the atonement that was made for us by Yeshua, our Messiah. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We seek your face. We seek to know your ways and not to try to figure it out on our own. Lord, on this Yom Kippur, may we remember who you are and remember who we are and remember who we are in you, in Messiah Yeshua. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing in our community at this time. I pray that you touch individual hearts, be with families at this time, be with the community here, and certainly, Lord, be with Kol Mashiach, our congregation, as we continue to walk along the path, the narrow path that you have given us to walk, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.